Heavenly Father, just pray that you may just be with these girls this morning. Give them your peace and just give them your words to say. Thank you for what they're going to say. Amen.
With our theme today of revival, I want to talk a bit about reviving our prayer life. So I know I've sometimes thought, what should I say when I'm praying? And sometimes you know exactly what you want to say, and it just comes easily, but there are also some days when knowing what to say doesn't come to you. I mean, this doesn't mean you don't care about God anymore, it's just that sometimes our days have been long or tiring or stressful for whatever reason, and that's okay. So last year, I went to a Christian camp for a week in Weymouth, and one of my tent leaders told us about a sort of structure you can use when praying, and I want to share that with you. So it goes pray, so P-R-A-Y. P for praising God, R for repentance, A for anyone else, and Y for yourself. So it's like a sort of structure of how to pray and stuff. Yeah, hope this helps you because it's helped me a lot. Thank you.
Hey everybody. So today I'm going to be talking about what keeps us from following God. In girls group last week, we talked about Mary and Martha. Some of you may know the story, but basically what happens is there are two sisters who invite Jesus into their home. They lived in a town called Bethany, and in the Bible they appear in Luke. When Jesus arrived, Martha got everything ready for Jesus while Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Martha kept getting things ready until she realized Mary wasn't helping her. Martha stormed over to Jesus in anger that she was the only one doing the work. Instead of Jesus getting annoyed at Martha, he said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but the only one thing that is needed is me." Jesus didn't mind Martha was doing the work. It was a good thing to do. The problem was, Martha didn't realize how special it was to be spending time with Jesus or listening to Jesus. Sometimes we get distracted with the busyness and the stress of life. But just like Jesus didn't get upset or annoyed with Martha, he doesn't get upset with us. Jesus waits patiently and encourages us to sit and listen at his feet. Here's a quote. "Time spent with God changes you, makes you more like Jesus, and strengthens you for what lies ahead." This is a really encouraging quote from Bob Gass, the person with that does UTB. In girls group, we also talked about what helped us to bring us closer to God. Some of our ideas were dog walks, listening to worship, and coming to church. Thank you for listening to my talk, and remember to bring out your inner Mary.
So I'm going to be talking about E for excitement, about how exciting God is. So, he's risen. He is risen indeed. He certainly is. The gospel, our good news, should well up inside us of tremendous joy and excitement. We've been invited to a banquet with the King. Matthew 22:1-3 says, "Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servant to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come.' What kind of response does this invite produce in you? Why did the guests refuse? Why do we sometimes hide our invitations rather than boast about them at school and work and tell others it's an open invite? I think the reason for this is we don't fully grasp how awesome and amazing this invite is and what a huge privilege we have. Ephesians 3:17-19 says, "God's love surpasses all human knowledge, and it is difficult for any of us to grasp the width, the length, the height, and the depth of God's love for each one of us." I'm certain the more we are able to grasp how much God loves us, the more we will live it out with incredible excitement and joy, shouting from the rooftops. So, do we understand this love which surpasses all human knowledge? I believe we can find the answer in looking at Jesus. He was fully man while still being God. In John 5:19, Jesus said, Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Jesus often went off to a quiet place by himself with the Father. He made intentional appointments with the Father. From these appointments, Jesus often found his direction and purpose. We can't know God's love for us unless we make these intentional appointments to have a one-to-one with God. Our relationship with God grows in the same way our human relationship grows, time and conversation. God also wants us to meet up and bring and chat. Do we value our relationship with God to make these appointments? This brings me to the next point, V for visualize. Visualize. Jesus preached about the kingdom of God being near. The more time we spend with God in prayer, the more we will be able to know his heart's desire and what his kingdom will look like and be like. Just like when Jesus found his direction and purpose, when he spent quality time with the Father, we will be able to visualize the kingdom of God in our lives.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to be talking about Emmanuel. So Emmanuel means God with us. And this is a concept that as humans, we can't fully comprehend how such a holy, pure God, who created literally the entire universe, would want to spend time with us 24 hours, 7 days a week. And in the Old Testament, there are loads of stories that if you zoomed in, it looks like the Israelites are finished. But in every single situation, God was in control. And he also gave some people the opportunity to join forces with him in rescuing his people. Esther was one of these people. So Esther was a young woman who was raised by her cousin Mordecai when her parents died. And she became queen as the king's queen disobeyed him. So he, got a new queen. And there was so many women that the king could have chose to be his queen, but he chose Esther. And that is one example of how God was in that situation, because he had Esther right where he wanted her so she could do the most good. And Haman, the king's prime minister, tricked the king into a contract of killing all the Jews in his empire. So obviously Esther was a Jew and she had to do something about it. So she had to go to speak to the king. But in these times, if you went to speak to the king without being called, you'd be put to death. So Esther she prayed for 3 days about this, and then she went and she did it. And the king was like, oh yeah, I'll give you anything I want, you're my queen. So she invited him to a banquet. And he was like, oh, what did you want? Why did you invite me to this banquet? And she said, well, I want to invite you to another banquet the next night. But before the second banquet, Haman decided that he wanted to kill Mordecai, Esther's cousin, before the banquet, so he didn't have to think about him. However, just before he did this, the king couldn't sleep, so he decided to have the official record read to him. And the part that was read to him was about when Mordecai saved the king from an assassination. So the king decided to honour Mordecai, and this prevented Haman from hanging Mordecai right before he was going to. And after this, Esther, in the second banquet, Esther explains to the king Haman's plan, and the king is outraged and he hangs Haman for this. But this is a part that not many people know about the story of Esther, is that the king couldn't stop the contract to kill all the Jews. So he said to his queen Esther, he said, I will help you in any way I can, but I cannot cancel the contract. So the Jews had to fight, and the king helped them get ready for the fight. And the Jews won against their enemies, even though all the odds were stacked against them. And in the end, the town province officials actually helped them win the fight in the end. That's another way that God was there. How people that they barely knew helped the Jews to fight. Esther 4:11 says, if anyone, man or woman, goes to the inner courtyard and sees a king without being summoned, that person must die. This is the law. Everyone from the king's advisors to the people in the provinces know that. There is only one way to get around this law. If the king holds out his golden scepter to someone, then that person's life is spared. But it has been a month since the king sent for me. And Esther 4:16 says, go and gather all the Jews in Susa together, hold a fast and pray for me. Do not eat or drink anything for 3 days and nights. My young woman and I will do the same. After that, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. If I must die for doing it, I will die. And these two verses not only show how much Esther was risking, but it creates a powerful picture of trusting God in everything. And by fasting and praying, they were trying to draw near to God and plead for his mercy and grace. And this next bit, it's kind of a testimony of when I was put in this situation. So we were in PE, and you might have heard about this from my mum, but I was in PE, and our teacher was asking us to do yoga. And I've been brought up that yoga is not a Christian, very Christian thing to do. It's rooted in other religions, so I refused. And I was praying to God so much through that lesson. I was like, yeah, okay, I'm doing this. And a lot of people in the class were giving me strange looks and making fun of me to their friends. I could hear their conversations. So I was just hoping God was with me. And in the end, it all got sorted, and he was. That's just a testimony of how God was with me in my life.
So the second V is for victorious. And what does it mean to be victorious? It means to win or to conquer something or someone. When we talk about revival, what do we want to see? We want to see God's kingdom come on earth and to see people's lives changed and for God to conquer their hearts. To win, we have to be brave and take risks and trust our teammates and our coach. It can be the same when we're trying to evangelize or bring our friends and community to know Jesus. Often, we have to step out of our comfort zone, be brave, but mostly we need to trust and have faith in God. In the bully skit, we see the victim having to step out and trust God that even though to forgive the bully for what they have done, and in the end, they are victorious and they manage to get the bully to come with them and eventually to meet God. And sometimes we feel like we can't win, no matter how hard we try. However, as long as we have faith and know God is with us, we can never be defeated. And they said in the song, if God is for us, then who can ever stop us? And this is true. Sometimes when we're trying to see our friends and family come to God, it can feel like nothing's happening. For example, one of my friends, who I brought to Church Weekends Away, girls' groups, and lots of other events, and I felt like nothing was happening. And maybe nothing will happen, but I trust God that he has planted those seeds and that he will grow them and he will be working in her life throughout the rest of her life. And even though you might not feel like God is with you and you're not being victorious, he has won and he will help you to defeat any battles. Moving on to the next one, this is A, and this stands for all-powerful and all-conquering. And sometimes we might forget that Jesus conquered death and how significant that is. Like, it's incredible. And to have God, who defeated death, on our side, we can never be defeated. And ultimately, he has won the war. And maybe we have battles that we face, big and small. And during these times, our faith can be tested. In the Bible, the disciples face lots of challenges, and Jesus does too. So we can expect the same. However, they knew that God was on their side, and the one who defeated death, he was on their side. And look what they could do. By having a little bit of faith and trusting God, they changed the world. And in the reading, it says that whoever believes and prays, those things will be done in his name. And when we follow God, we don't suddenly have all these magical powers, but God works through us, and he can do amazing things. And this can be done through prayer, and it can heal. We can heal and change lives. Finally, L is for love. God is love, and people often say that, but what does it actually mean? Well, we know that God is made up of three parts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And these are all connected through their relationship and their very close relationship. It's made up of love, the love that they share for each other. And it's like a close friendship. When you're really close with someone, you have a lot of love for them. You can tell what they're thinking. And so what it means is that God is made up of love. Without love, he wouldn't be God. And the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit wouldn't have come together. And this love, this really strong love, he poured out for us when he made the world. And when we invite him into our heart, we have that love. And through that love, we can share it with the world and with our friends. And since God gave us this love, we can demonstrate it. And through that, we can change lives and our community. Thank you.
Thank you, girls, for explaining those so fantastically. Here are those letters again. Reprioritize, excitement, visualize, Emmanuel, victory, all-powerful, love. Let's pray for revival now. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Father, we know that there's nothing better than living in a perfect relationship with you. Please bring your kingdom in our lives, in our schools, and in Barnstable. Amen.